What's going on, world? Thomas Glory here with episode number 3 of Well World, We're Screwed. I invite you guys to the show. Today is going to be our first official show with a guest. A good buddy of mine named Ryan coming on a little bit later. He's actually ex-military, ex-army, was injured twice in battle, and is actually 100% disabled in terms of the army from multiple issues. Got a traumatic brain injury, has some other things going on. And it's going to be an interesting discussion because he is not a Trump supporter. He's not an Obama supporter. He's not an any supporter. He's an anti-politician. So it'll be kind of a cool dynamic. I'm sure there's some points that we'll agree on, but there may be, you know, a little bit of a back and forth banter and having some fun because he's definitely an opinionated guy all on his own. And I look forward to having him on the show. So he'll be with us a little bit later. I'm going to preface the interview with just a little bit of insight into Robert Mueller's address before the Department of Justice yesterday. And I know that that's a topic of conversation with everybody right now. And it's huge because it says a lot of things. And the one line that the Democrats keep taking from this is the fact that he said, if we didn't feel like Trump had committed a crime, we would have said so. Okay, well, if you felt like Trump had committed a crime, you would have said so. So at the end of the day, but there's a lot of other pieces in this conversation or in this press conference that are, to most of us, infuriating. Okay, let's really look at the relevant points here and think about it from the perspective of the American people. One of the things that Robert Mueller said is that based on DOJ regulations, that they were not able to charge a sitting president or indict a sitting president with a crime or with a federal crime. So this begs the question, why the investigation? Why waste $35 million of taxpayer money, interview 500 people and waste their time, serve over 2,000 subpoenas, look over a million documents of Trump campaign paperwork? Why all this nonsense and why all this division of the country and all this hate from the left? For what? For nothing? If you knew from day one that you were not going to be able to charge the president with anything, and don't get me wrong, I understand, you know, the whole premise of the legal system and making sure that things are investigated and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you wasted our fucking time. You wasted energy. You divided the country down the middle for what? For something that you knew you were not going to see a result from regardless? So this whole thing, just like President Trump has been saying since the very beginning, has been a sham, a hoax, and a fucking witch hunt from day one. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit and an embarrassment to the American people and the United States of America. You've got to be kidding me. To lean on that, you stood up before the Department of Justice and basically the country and said, yeah, I got into an investigation that I knew nothing was going to come out of it because in the end, we can't charge the person we're investigating. Wow. I don't even know what to say. Like, that is one of those situations where it's like, all this money, all this time, all this energy wasted for what? For nothing. All you literally did was divide the country even more than it already was before. Point blank, period. And now because of your choice words and the fact that you decided to insinuate with ridiculous rhetoric that there's a potential that the president is guilty, even though you didn't charge him with anything, you've now created more division. And then what do you do? Oh, I resign. See ya. And you walk away. Robert Mueller, you're a fucking pussy. You are what makes this country terrible. You are one of those, the few people like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and all the other ridiculous Democratic party leaders, even though you're supposedly not a Democrat. The fact that you made that statement alone showed partisanship. And you as a prosecutor are not supposed to have any partisan bias. And you proved that you do right then and there with that statement. And it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this is one of those things where we were all hoping for an end to this. And don't get me wrong, on one side, there is an end because he said our investigation is over. Our investigation is done with. And at the end, he said that there was an attempt for people to screw with our election, essentially. And he said that that's something that all Americans should be concerned about. But in that statement, because he left it so open-ended, of course, the Democrats are, oh, Trump, 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 impeach, impeach, impeach. It's not what he was talking about, you assholes. He was talking about the people that actually were indicted from the Russian government. And those are the people that actually got stepped inside and tried to screw with the election. That's who he's talking about. He essentially said that, yes, there are things that went on in an attempt to sway the 2016 election. And yes, we should be worried about that. But nowhere in anything did he allude that President Trump was part of that. So the fact that you take things out of context and you pull one sentence from here, one sentence from there, one sentence from here, and you make these assumptions or innuendos is ridiculous. I'm going to tell you right now, the American people are not going to allow President Trump to be impeached. There will be a civil war before something like that happens. You guys have no idea the strength of the conservative nation and the Republican Party. It's just because we sit back and we're quiet and we go to work every day and we take care of our families and we pay our bills and we pay our taxes and we do what we're supposed to do and we're law-abiding citizens, unlike 90% of the Democratic Party, does not mean that when the time comes, we won't stand up. As of right now, our country is severely divided, but it's not divided from anything that our president has done. Our president has stepped up in every way that he possibly can through all this bullshit, all this garbage being drugged through the mud. This guy has literally improved, in my opinion, he's improved the country so much from an economic standpoint that nobody else can take that away from him. Even, you know, slimy Joe Biden trying to say, oh, well, he came in off of a Biden-Obama, blah, 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 blah. Nah, that was bullshit, dude. Obama literally said that half of the jobs that President Trump has brought back to the United States would never come back. So it's ridiculous that you would even consider that or even say something like that. It just goes to show how fucking stupid you are, because we all know you're a moron. So, and you'll never sit in the president's office. And if you do, we're fucked and I'm leaving this country. So, but at the end of the day, he's done so much more for the country and he hasn't even been in office 3 years yet, 2.5 years. Than any other president has, and he's done this the entire time with his head underwater. Literally, people have tried multiple times to drown him, and he's steady treading water, steady making improvements, steady moving forward, one foot in front of the other. 72 years old, if he is not the biggest show of kick-assedness, even though that's not a word, I don't know what the fuck is, because I'm gonna tell you at the end of the day, I guarantee you that half of the other presidents that have sat in the Oval Office and been the commander in chief of the United States of America would have folded under the pressure and resigned and walked away. But not President Trump, because he believes in the United States of America. He believes in the American people. He's a patriot and he loves this country, and he's not about to step back and let people take advantage of him or dissuade him from doing his job because they're accusing him of bullshit. That alone should be more than enough for most people to look at the situation and say, wow, you know what? You're right. Because if he was guilty, he would have cut and ran already. Why would he subject himself to all this ridicule, all this bullshit, all these people trolling him, all this crazy stuff going on, threats against his family? You guys want to sit there and say that Ilhan Omar got threats against her family for that stupid thing she said? Some people did something about 9/11. You don't think President Trump doesn't get threats every single day of his life? You better believe he does. His kids do. His wife does. His entire family does. So pardon us for not feeling sorry for Ilhan Omar saying some people did something and then getting some death threats. I'm sorry. It's sad that somebody didn't follow through with one of them. But at the end of the day, she's part of our government. And as much as I don't agree with her or her policies or what she says or anything that has to do with her in general, I have to accept the fact that she sits in the office and it is what it is. So just like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, biggest moron in the House history. But what can we do? She's been elected. So at this point, let her serve out her term. Let her continue to make this ridiculous tirade and try to push socialism and the Green New Deal and all the other bullshit that she's got, you know, from somebody else's sleeve. And eventually the people will smarten up, and come next term, she'll be pushed out. She's not going to be reelected. And if she is, then wow, I don't even know what to say. But so enough of my rant in regards to, you know, Robert Mueller. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, the funniest thing is that he basically, what's the word I'm looking for? He basically said that, and everything that he said, he basically tried to take away Attorney General Barr's credibility. But then he made the point that, you know, he stands behind everything that Attorney General Barr said, and that he trusts his opinion and has nothing but the utmost respect for him. Like, come on, dude. You can't hold my wife down on the bed and fuck her while I'm on the phone and say, hey, man, I respect the hell out of you, but I'm fucking your wife. No, that's not the way the world works. It's ridiculous. If I were Attorney General Barr right now, I would be furious. Because, like I said, I mean, he painted, basically, you know, he painted a dark and stormy picture, but then turned and said the sun was shining. I mean, come on, dude. It's just ridiculous. So anybody who does something like that, steps back, cuts and runs, and then chooses not to defend himself, won't even take questions, you know, won't even do whatever. It's just, I mean, I get it. And I don't think he needed to take questions, to be quite honest, because I do believe that the report speaks for itself. And don't get me wrong, man. Any of you guys that are out there that have read the all 448 pages of the Mueller report, like I have, it's a lot of it is very difficult to understand unless you read it. Like, there are certain points when you have to jump back and forth, and, you know, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, if you read the report, the just where they reference, you know, certain things on other and other parts of the report. So now if you read the report, you know, it's so much information and there's so much stuff in it that there are points where, you know, there are suspect things that are said. There are suspect conversations. And it's not, when you look at it, that's like saying, okay, you know, I live in a building with maybe 30 other apartments. Somebody in another apartment winds up murdered. I have nothing to do with it, but they're going to come through and they're going to question everybody, especially if they don't have any suspects. And then let's say for some reason they start leaning on me. I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm getting nervous because I'm like, why am I being like harassed about this? So I'm calling my mom, you know, I'm, hey mom, I don't know what's going on, but it's getting really weird over here. Like, these cops are hanging up on my house. They're coming and talking to me. You know, it's normal for someone under such scrutiny and under such a ridiculous investigation, even when they're completely innocent, to be concerned. And that's what I think a lot of people, you know, forget, is that you can't be under the strongest microscope in the world and not be nervous, because you never know what's going to happen. I don't care how much confidence President Trump had, knowing 100% that he didn't do anything wrong and that nobody on his team did anything wrong. There's still the possibility of that one little leak. There's still that possibility of that one person who he didn't know about, who said something that they shouldn't have said or talked to somebody that they shouldn't have talked to. He gave his entire team, including himself and everybody else, 100% support and said that he believed and stood behind everybody. What if one of those people was fucking him over? What if somebody that he didn't know was engaging in some kind of contact with Russia or whoever else did something behind his back? And it comes out in the investigation. I'm not saying he shouldn't be held accountable for that, because that's part of his team. But of course you're going to be nervous. You're talking about, they interviewed 500 people plus. And they couldn't find credible evidence out of 500 people and 2,000 plus subpoenas. I mean, 2,000 plus search warrants. You know, it's ridiculous to think that after all that, all those pieces come together, there's still not enough evidence to charge or to even insinuate an indictment for anything. But we're still going to lean on it. And we're still, and the left is still going to jump at the opportunity to potentially try to impeach Trump. I'm going to tell you right now, the country is going to implode if Trump gets impeached. And the craziest part is, guess what? Mike Pence takes over. So it's not like the Democrats can just stick somebody else in there and say, ah, okay, Hillary, you're in. Tag, you're it. No. You guys are ridiculous. So, without further ado, after I finished up my rant on this, which we'll probably talk a little bit more about the Mueller report with Ryan once he comes on the show. But Stay tuned. Segment number two with my buddy, Ryan O'Neill. Later. What's going on, world? Welcome back to segment number two of Well World. We're screwed. I'm here with my buddy Ryan O'Neill. What's going on, Ryan?
Not much, man. How you been?
I have been fantastic. Can't complain, definitely. So life is good. What do you got going on? You got something fun coming up this weekend?
Yeah, I have another competition this weekend.
Okay.
So right now I'm suffering with the water cuts and starvation and stuff.
Yay. So for those of you, I didn't mention this in the preface where I talked a little bit about Ryan. Ryan's actually a power lifter, so he's getting ready for a competition this weekend. So he may ramble on or come off with some off-the-cuff crazy stuff that he may not normally say because his mind is a little, like, all over the place. But at the end of the day, I appreciate having him on the show. And it's a really cool perspective to have because Ryan is essentially, like, what would you consider yourself? Like if somebody asked you what your political point of view is, what would you say?
Probably more conservative, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I just think less government, more freedom of choice.
Okay, so more conservative, yeah. Which is good. So, you know, well, good in terms of that we're on the same plane in terms of that. But tell them what you told me earlier about politicians.
Oh, they're all...
Yeah?
Oh, they're all full of shit.
And this is coming from, you know, someone who has spent a lot of time in the military. How long were you in the Army?
Just under 3 years.
Just under 3 years. And he got blown up a couple times and has been through a lot. So it's he's seen kind of the inside, you know, the inside pieces of government in terms of military and things like that. And that's a very different side that we don't always get to see. And that, you know, us as, you know, civilians don't get to see what people who are truly part of the military and like the back alley stuff that kind of goes on and things like that. So we were talking a little bit before about the Robert Mueller coming forward and giving his little speech in front of the DOJ yesterday. Now, Ryan hasn't seen that. Ryan actually tries not to pay attention to this garbage. So I'm going to kind of lay some quick stuff out for him and just say like what it was. So ultimately, the synopsis of his little press conference with the DOJ yesterday was that he was resigning, so he quit. You know, he walked away. And he basically said that he supported what Attorney General Barr said about the report. He said the report speaks for itself, but he also made comments like, if we felt the president wasn't guilty of a crime, we would have said that. So yeah, so he literally, it was like he was talking out of both sides of his mouth. You know, he supported what Attorney General Barr came out and said about the report that the president wasn't. But then here's the fucking kicker. Here is the hold you down, stomp on your nuts. Okay. He said essentially that you cannot charge a sitting president with a federal crime. It's against DOJ policy.
Didn't they do that to like, what's his name? Clinton or something?
Essentially, he was brought up on charges, but nothing ever came of it. So, but at the end of the day, he said, so ultimately what he just told the American public and the Department of Justice and everybody who was listening to him yesterday is $35 million, over 500 people interviewed, 2,000 search warrants, whoever the fuck, however much else, over a million documents. All that was all for naught because no matter what they found, they couldn't indict a sitting president.
So can I become president?
Right. I mean, I wish. But I'm like, at this point, it's like, but the reality is they still did their investigation. They still took 2 years. They didn't find a fucking thing. You know what they found is they found some shady conversations that people had when, because let's be honest, if you and I were put in a situation, I prefaced it a little bit earlier, where let's say somebody in this building gets murdered and we have nothing to do with it, but we live in the same building and all of a sudden the cops start leaning on us for some reason as if we're suspects, even though we were sitting here recording this fucking podcast during the murder. We're going to get nervous. We're gonna be like sitting here, you know, you may call your wife or I may call my wife and be like, hey man, I don't know what's going on, but these guys are watching us, you know, this is crazy. You know, you're gonna get nervous. You're gonna have conversations with people that kind of allude that you might be nervous or scared. They interviewed 500 people, people that were involved with the president's campaign. How the fuck does he know that one of the little dumb jackasses didn't have a conversation with somebody from Russia and he just doesn't know about it? And next thing you know, it blows up in his face. So there's so much more to all this than, you know, could potentially be had.
I mean, man, every president, like I said, and told you, is every president and politician is corrupt in some way.
And so, I don't disagree. Absolutely.
So the chances are somebody did something, but like I said, even if you know you did a crime, but you can't be proven guilty, you're innocent. Which exactly. Sucks, but
and that's
how the law works.
No, you're right. And that's it doesn't suck, honestly, because I mean,
regards to anything.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's you're innocent until proven guilty, and that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be you're guilty until proven innocent. And ultimately, what Robert Mueller did yesterday is he tried to insinuate guilt with the president, but it's not proven. So it's like, come on, dude. Like, one thing that I mentioned to you earlier is that I'm in a very similar boat to you. I'm a conservative, and I'm a Christian. There's a lot of conservative beliefs that I believe in and support 100%. I'm not a politician fan at all. I hate politics. I hate politicians. I want to slap them half the time because I think what the biggest issue with politics in general and politicians is that a lot of them talk out both sides of their mouth. But the thing that I do enjoy and appreciate about President Trump is that he's business first, politics second. And because of that, he's actually making improvements in the country. You know, he's helping our economy, unemployment's down, all that, all the stuff that everybody leans on, but it's true.
My stocks are going up.
Exactly. Dude, bringing jobs back to the United States. I mean, you know, there's so many things that he is improving upon, and I prefaced this again on the earlier intro to the show, he's done all this while he's been underwater. Like, the dude's literally being held down and strangled with this whole Mueller investigation and all this crap, but he's still making progress.
Yeah, I mean, I like him, but I hate him at the same time.
I understand.
I like him because for the simple fact that he's not afraid to say what he wants.
Exactly.
But I don't like him because he definitely is terrible the way he says it.
Oh, you're right. 1,000,000%. He is by far probably one of the worst speaking presidents in history. He does not have that eloquence that like Obama did. You know, that's one thing you can say about Obama. Obama was a shit talker and he lied out of his asshole. But he did it and he sounded like he was reading poetry. You know what I mean? And that's just, at the end of the day, it sounds better to people.
It sounds good, more people will believe it.
Exactly. And President Trump is the first one to sit down and say, fuck you, fake news media. But at the end of the day, like you said, he just comes off brash because he doesn't have that eloquence when he speaks.
He's not a politician.
Exactly. He's a businessman. You know, it's like the whole thing. We were talking about China. I was talking about China with a buddy of mine the other day because, you know, trade has been going so well. Things have been improving so much for us. And then as soon as we get into this back and forth with China, immediately people are jumping ship and jumping all over Donald Trump and being like, oh my God, he's going to ruin the country. Everything's terrible. I'm like, listen, have you ever been involved in a negotiation? A real negotiation? It's a back and forth. Shit happens. It will work out. It may take 6 months. It may take a year for it all to kind of to work out for us. But he went to battle with China for the greater good of the United States.
We're never going to stop with China.
No.
Like, if we stop with China, so much stuff would just be gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All the electronics, pretty much, you get. All your toys for the kids.
Yeah.
Car part. Not all everything, but...
No, but a lot of what you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely. I made a mention of this on, you know, one of the previous shows, is that I was trying to get a little stuffed toy I made out of a mascot of one of the brands that I work for, or a marketing company. And I got a quote in the U.S. to make 3,500 units, and it was like $3.81 a unit. Okay, so it was like $13,000, almost $14,000 for these little toys.
Let me guess, China was like $3,000?
China was like 81 cents each.
So yeah, like 20.
Yeah, they were like, it came out to like, with shipping and everything, it was gonna be like $4,200 because the shipping was a little expensive. But, I mean, we're talking a third the price for something, you know, it's just incredible. And it sucks because it's like, why can't we offer that here in the United States? Why does it have to be so much more expensive? Because you know what's happening 9 times out of 10 is you're paying a middleman. The guy that you're going to buy it from in the United States, guess where he's getting it from? He's getting it from China. And it's coming here and then he's selling it to you at a 300% markup.
Yeah, it's funny you said that because... Like my stepson, we bought the Lego Ninjago ones from China through a website that's like, you know, very famous. And it's the same exact thing. The only thing they have to do, because for like, since they manufacture like the Lego one, they have to change like the faces so it's not copyright.
Right.
And for the same like $180 Lego kit, it was $20 with shipping included.
Wow.
And it was the same exact thing.
That's insane.
Yes.
Yeah, stuff like that's nuts. And it makes you wonder, like, why is it, how is it that we aren't able to afford similar pricing, or even, like, let's just say, even if it's, let's say it's a 25% markup to get in the United States, and but you can have it tomorrow versus having to wait, you know, however long it comes from China. Sometimes I know it can be lengthy. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes you get it with 3 or 4 days. But a lot of times, a lot of stuff you order from China, I know my personal experience is 7 to 10 days typically, you know?
Yeah. depending on what it is, if it's like free shipping, the stuff, it's usually about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's be honest, if I'm going to save $160 on a $180 item,
I'll wait
the
3 weeks. Exactly. Yeah, I hear you completely. So one of the things that I kind of wanted to talk about with you is, for instance, how do you think the military affected your political thought process?
It's pretty easy, because when I got in, I'm trying to think what year was it, 2010? Who was it, Trump or Obama?
In 2010?
Yeah. Okay, so because I remember when that happened, I got in, it was like, everybody was like, oh, we're going to war, we need more and more people. And then right before I got deployed to Afghanistan, they were like, it was like a month before, maybe 2 months, I don't know the exact date, the whole thing where Osama was killed. They're like, oh, he's killed, whatever. And then they're like, oh, you're still going to Afghanistan. So that made me realize, okay, why are they still deploying a million more troops if that whole thing's going on? And then you just learn that, like, at the end of the day, it's all for profit. They don't, like, the government doesn't care about us. I mean, within reason.
Right.
Everything's for profit, because if you said we're going there to take somebody out, and we take it out, and then we're still deploying more and more people, I just don't trust them.
What did you see, like, when you were there that made you think that?
It's not really like what I saw. It's just more so how the military's ran. Like, it's not bad, but you definitely realize some stuff.
Right.
So I was just like, I don't like them.
So you think going to the military actually, like, had a negative impact on your thought process of politics overall? Like, when you came back, you felt more distant or more angry towards politicians?
It opens your eyes to, like, all the bullshit in general in life, not just politics.
Okay.
So, like, you realize that, you know, like, for example, we've talked about somebody used to work for, the BS that was going on. We recognize it more now.
Gotcha.
In regards to anything.
So you start valuing life a little bit more. And trying to push the bullshit aside and saying,
yes,
it's not important.
Yes.
Gotcha, okay. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, I can honestly say that value in life and living outside of that bullshit factor, which a lot of us tend to get involved in. I found myself this morning actually commenting on somebody's post on Instagram, and I wrote, like, this, you know, I'm angrily typing this response to this liberal asshole, and I'm like, you know what? Nah. I just deleted it, because I'm like, why? Like, what do I need that? Why do I need to get my blood pressure up? Why do I need to get angry at somebody on the internet? Like, that is the stupidest thing that I could possibly be doing, because it's not going to hurt him. He's going to laugh at it and send back a fuck you meme and move on with life. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not changing anybody's opinion on the internet.
That sounds like me.
It is what it is. I mean, I've learned the hard way that you're not going to change anybody's opinion on the internet. You know, can you have a sit-down conversation with somebody and potentially prove your side a little bit more so that they can see a broader picture? Yes, but it doesn't mean you're changing their mind.
On the internet, it's hard.
On the internet, it's hard. Absolutely, it is. And that's that's people's predominant place of social right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Social media. I mean, most people don't go to Starbucks and just, like, you know, start up a conversation with people in there like, hey, you like Trump? You don't like Trump? Come over. Have a seat. You know, it's like, that's one of the things why I love Louder with Crowder. Like, you probably don't know who he is because you don't really watch a lot of this stuff. But Thomas Crowder is, he's a conservative, and he goes out to like college campuses.
I think my coach was talking about that. I think so.
Possibly. He goes out to college campuses and he sets up a, like, tables and tents, and he says, like, pro-life, change my mind.
Oh, the meme guy.
Yeah. And people will come in, and he invites people who have differing opinions to him to come sit down and have a lucid conversation. Not to scream at him. And 9 times out of 10, no matter where he goes, he gets people that are, you know,
somebody's offended.
Oh, they're screaming and yelling on the other side, and then he ends up going over and talking to that person and trying to get them to come and sit down. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I appreciate the fact that he actually takes the time and makes the initiative to go open dialogues with people and actually provide people with real facts versus just saying, going on the internet and posting a bunch of memes and posting his own opinions and whatever else. So, you know, that's why I look at things like like Graham Allen recently, you know, he does the Dear America podcast. He was the guy who started Rant Nation, where he would do rants in his truck, and he's like screams in a high pitched voice about, you know, anything conservative, whatever. The guy was literally he's in the Army. I think he spent 8 years, I think they said, in the Army, and then he retired from the Army and decided to do
online stuff. He's like the good shape white guy that used to be like an infantry officer or something like that.
Yes. Okay. Yep. And he him and his wife now, you know, they do the podcast, and he's on Blaze TV, and they do the Rant Nation thing. But what's funny is that when Representative Sims from Pennsylvania was harassing those women who were praying outside of the Planned Parenthood in Center City, Philadelphia, he took it to the streets and literally, like, within a week was there with hundreds of pro-life people out in front of that Planned Parenthood there, and they tried to get the representative to come and actually, like, have a dialogue with them. And you think he was anywhere to be found? Hell no. So stuff like that I appreciate, because I appreciate people actually putting it to action and not just bitching at people on the internet and crying and complaining.
You're like, what's the other guy? The other guy. Oh, man.
There's so many.
No.
Ben Shapiro?
Yes. I love him because he's just like, I don't give a crap.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and that's my favorite thing, is when people can just tell it like it is and be real and not be afraid to be censored. And the craziest part is, do you follow the Hodge twins?
Yeah, I used to.
Okay.
Back in the day.
So, well, they, like, a lot of people hate their guts. Like, I was laughing the other day because they posted something about Ilhan Omar, and, like, this was a while back.
Is that Mike, the lady that was, like...
The one in Minnesota who's a Muslim that's in
Congress. Yeah, that was, like, 9/11 was nothing, yeah. Or something like that, yeah.
Yep, some people said something. Well, he, and I saw a comment on there from actually Mike Rashid. And Mike Rashid called them out and was like, oh, you were nothing when you were in fitness, and now you're just a bunch of house Negroes and blah, 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 blah. He was talking shit about him. Because clearly Mike Rashid, you know, well-to-do African-American, is a liberal and a Democrat, because they all believe that's where they're supposed to be.
He's where he's at for spewing BS lies about how he got in shape and this.
Absolutely,
and that.
Absolutely. We all know that they all have their own agendas.
Yeah, there's other stuff involved.
But I just love, like, watching the Hodge twins, like, just tell it how it is. You know, they're not afraid to get on there and just be like, listen, like, you don't have to agree with us. We don't care, but fuck you. This is how we feel. And that is the kind of shit that we need more of. See, the sad part is that conservatives are the silent majority. We're the ones that just go to work, we pay our fucking taxes, we pay our bills, we mind our own business, we go to the gun range, we hang out, we take care of our families. We don't have loud mouths because we're not the ones that are out there. I mean, we may have a loud mouth once in a while, but I'm saying we're not out there, you know, harassing Obama supporters. We're not out there smashing windows because they have, you know, Democratic Party stickers on it. I told the story here, you know, a couple weeks ago. I don't even think I told you this, and we live in similar neighborhoods, that I put a Trump sticker on the back of my Jeep. 2 days it was on my Jeep, and I went out there and my window was smashed. It cost me $1,200 to replace the back window of my Jeep, because I didn't want it to go through my insurance, so I just paid for it. And I had gotten, when I ordered those stickers, they had sent me two. So I put the sticker back on it again. A week later, they smashed my window out again. Clearly, somebody around here doesn't like Trump. Fine, whatever.
You know what you could do? Because you got the close one. You can put like a ring camera.
Oh, I know. I wish I could.
No, put a camera here.
I usually park like over here. You never know. So. Okay. And both times that it happened, it was actually parked in the lot on the other side of the hedges right here, because when I get home sometimes late, there's no parking over here in front of the building. So needless to say, I couldn't afford to do it again. So I fixed it the second time, and I didn't put the sticker back on it. But it pisses me off, because I should be able to have a Trump sticker on my car if I want. Because I've never harassed somebody or smashed the window for somebody having an Obama sticker or a Democratic Party sticker or a pro-life sticker or pro-choice sticker or any of that shit.
That's the problem nowadays. Everybody's such a fucking pussy that if you have an opinion and they don't agree with it, they get really offended and they, like, just... You know.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. My thing is this. Like, do you think that they would have smashed the window on my car if they would actually seen me out there? Hell no. They wouldn't even come near my car. But, of course, in the middle of the night when nobody else is around, it's easy to throw a rock through a window or do whatever, or smash a window out, because you don't have to suffer the consequences. You smash and run, you know? So let's talk a little bit about what happened. And we discussed your, like, injuries and stuff one time before. You're actually on another show of mine. Yeah. But, let's talk about, pick a couple stories and tell us a little bit about your experience in the military in terms of just, you know, I know you were deployed to Afghanistan, and what I want, you know, do you have anybody that you still keep in contact with, like, friend-wise from the military?
Yeah, a couple. It's actually funny, because we were talking about this earlier with the whole, like, everybody's full of shit. There's only a few people I really keep in contact with because, like, when you're in Afghanistan, everybody's buddy-buddy because even if I don't like you or you don't like me at the end of the day, none of us want to get killed. So, right. Like, if we hate you or guts, we're still going to protect you because that's our job.
Right.
And then when we got back, we had a lot of people that were, you know, right when we got back from Afghanistan, like, I don't know how many months it was, but they repealed the don't ask, don't tell. So then you would... The people that you knew were gay, obviously, it was pretty obvious most of the time. But then when we got back, the people, once they repealed it, when people came out and said they're gay or whatever, you had the people that were like I would say extremely homophobic and like, you know, just absurd, that were like talking shit about people.
Right.
So then you really see people's true colors, and it's like, how are you gonna talk shit about somebody because they're gay when they were a medic and they saved your life when you get fucking shot?
Right.
And it's like, they could have let you bleed out and die, but they saved you. Now you're talking shit because they're gay. It's like, whatever. Just let them do what they want. If they want to, you know, let me not go to the words, but if they want to, you know, if they're into dudes,
yeah,
who the fuck cares? That's their choice.
Right. And at the end of the day, did you see, could you honestly tell me, do you believe that the ones that you said that you could tell were gay when you were actually in the military, do you think that they performed any differently than the other soldiers?
The only two gay guys I really knew were probably the best we had.
Right.
One was a medic, and it was kind of obvious to like the beginning, which is not a problem for me. Because at the end of the day, my whole thought process is, you're a medic. If you do your job great, I don't give a shit what you do.
Exactly. And I honestly agree with that. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, one of the things about being a Christian that, you know, we're taught and that even, you know, even the Bible says is to love all people. Like, it's not our job. It's not my job to judge somebody for the decisions that they make or for who they choose to have sex with or who they choose to. That's not how I live my life. Same thing goes with color. I don't judge people by their skin tone. I could care less. You know, have I been in situations where I felt uncomfortable being a white person? Yes. But it doesn't mean that I look or feel any kind of way towards black people, Hispanic people, anybody else. I mean, I'm married to a Cuban. My kids are part Cuban. I mean, it is what it is. And my daughter, you know, has dated several young African-American men. And I don't have a problem with that. As long as she's happy and they're good kids, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what the color of someone's skin is, especially, like, let me ask you this. Like, something recently, Snoop Dogg actually posted something on Memorial Day. And he posted a picture of a crying black man in a military, in an army uniform. And he said that he was like, respect to all my black brothers and sisters out there who have fought for a country who never fought for them. And a lot of people have gotten pissed off about this because they're like, wait a minute, like, what do you mean they've never fought for them? What about the fucking Civil War and the thousands of soldiers, white, black, indifferent, that died to free the slaves? What about, you know, the people who fight alongside African-Americans today and don't have an issue? And what was crazy is I actually saw a comment where one of the guys who served with the guy in the picture that Snoop Dogg posted was like, I served with that guy and he was one of the most respected soldiers in our unit and never had any issue, never got any backlash for being black. He was actually a leader amongst us. And, you know, what do you think about that? Do you feel like people, like soldiers of ethnicity, were looked down upon when you were in the military?
It's I would say that overall, like, it's a little, I mean, yes, they're looked down upon, but so are other people. But I can somewhat agree with that statement because, like, I wouldn't say they're completely neglected, like, not respected in regards to civilian life or military. But it's all hard to say because, like, in general, black people have had it harder and still do to this day. That's why, like, when people talk about, like, white privilege, I'm like, yeah, it's to a certain extent. It's not like, oh, we're white, so we can do whatever we want. But we definitely do have an advantage because, like, I've been pulled over many times. They see veteran and white. And I can't say it for facts because I'm white or veteran, but it probably helps my benefit, you know? And I could definitely tell, like, with the whole, like, police shooting thing, yes, I would... Let me say it. Everybody gets murdered by the police, but the issue with what I see is also, I don't know the statistics and facts, so I can't say, but I do notice in the news more, which it can also be portrayed by the media, that more and more black people compared to white people are getting killed that are unarmed. But that's all media, man. I don't know.
No, I know. I hear you. And I can't, I mean, the reality is that it's really hard for any of us to know what the true facts are. Now, I've read a couple things that say that more white people are actually killed by the police than any other, but it's also because we're the majority.
Yeah.
So, and
what does that come down to? Like, is that just overall killed, or is that including unarmed? Is that including people that are like...
What I saw was overall, so I don't know what it could be, you know, in general. But So you honestly, like, coming from a soldier, like, you would say that you believe that the, like, African-American soldiers that served with you were treated differently or treated poorly?
No, not poorly. I mean, there's always a little bit of difference between every single soldier, no matter what your race is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's hard to say because it all depends on where you're stationed. Because, like, for example, I was in Fort Bliss, which El Paso, which is basically it's all pretty much Mexicans.
Right.
So, like, being black or Hispanic, you're not really that minority there.
Mm-hmm.
But it all depends on your unit, man. It's like, it depends on who's in charge, where you're at. You know, it's like everything. You could have a shitty boss. You could have a great boss. It all depends.
Gotcha. But what you would say, truthfully, is that you do believe that it exists, but you feel like it's a unit-by-unit kind of deal.
Oh, of course. It's like the same thing with cities. You go to certain cities. Like, look, we're in South Florida. We're the minority here.
Right.
I mean, am I treated bad? No.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
I mean, I've been treated badly, but it's nothing like I'm afraid for my life, but who knows, man? It's all case by case.
Okay, so I get what you're saying. So, like, we not to put words in your mouth, but it would probably be safe to say that if you were the lone African American guy in like a whole platoon or whole unit full of white guys, and you had a white like sergeant, that in that instance you think maybe that person might be beat up a little bit, and I don't mean beat up physically, but you know, harassed or treated differently.
It's all dependent because, like, it depends. Like I said, it depends on who's in charge.
Gotcha. Okay. So it really depends on what the beliefs of, like, the sergeant or whoever is in charge of the unit is and how they treat people. You feel like it kind of reflects on the soldiers themselves as well.
What do you mean?
Like I'm saying, like, let's say if we have, like, a leader, you know, a sergeant or whoever would be leading that unit is, let's say, racist. Let's say he hates black people and he treats the black soldiers and then they're like crap. Then that could potentially spill over into the other soldiers to treat them
of
that
course.
Way as well.
Like they say in the military, man, toxic leadership spreads. So.
Gotcha. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. But the crazy part about that is that when you look at it from an outside perspective, that's kind of the world. It's not even just the military. I mean, it's like you look at, because there are, you know, a lot of people, I do believe 100% that when it comes to racism right now, that the United States is 10 times better than we've ever been.
Of course.
Are we divided right now because of all the drama? Yes. But racism-wise, I think we're much better off. But is there still racism out there? Fuck yes, there are. You know what I mean? There are still people out there who believe that, you know, white people are superior. Like,
look at the shit going on in the news, man. People are getting pissed off because they don't agree with somebody's religion or...
Absolutely.
Like, for example, like, we had down... Well, not down here, but in Orlando, the gay club that got shot up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you hear about this shit over in, I don't know what states. Like, the one in North Carolina where they shot up the black...
The church.
Yeah. Yep. And then the one where they shot up the Muslim mosque recently.
Yeah, in New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
There's all kinds of crazy stuff. And I will say this, and as a white person in America, you know, and it's... And being the majority and being, you know, I have lived in some areas that I was minority, like South Florida.
Yeah.
You know, I lived in Philadelphia, which I was definitely a minority. I lived in Camden, New Jersey, or Collingswood, New Jersey, where I was definitely a minority.
Yeah.
And in my personal opinion, what I've experienced myself is that black people themselves are some of the most racist people in the United States against us. But I believe that a lot of that stems from the media and what's forced down their throat and what they're told and the fact that white supremacy and white privilege and all these things are just thrown at people, that it makes it hard for them not to believe it. So when they see you, they immediately think this guy hates me.
Yeah, it's like, what's his name? The Mavericks owner.
Mark Cuban.
Yeah, he was saying in an interview, somebody asked him, do you think that everybody's racist? And he's like, fuck yeah. He's like, if you're walking down like a street in the middle of the night, and let's be realistic, I mean, it's not everybody, but the majority, if you're walking down the middle of the street at 2 in the morning and you see two buff black dudes shaved, like swole as shit, walking past you, and you're a white female, you're probably gonna walk across the street without thinking about it, because that's just how we're ingrained, you know. And then if you're a black dude walking down the street at night and you see like, well, the stereotype of like the KKK or
yeah, like skinhead.
Yeah, you're gonna fucking walk across the other side of the street too. And then it's like he was talking about it. Also, he was saying something about it's all ingrained, because if you grew up in a neighborhood that is literally like, for example, like the ghettos in LA, Miami. If you're in an area that's all Asian, all Hispanic, all black, and then the one white guy moves in, all of a sudden they're going to be wondering, who the hell is this guy? What does
right.
he want?
Right.
So it's all based on, I mean, obviously the media doesn't help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all based off where you're from, who you're surrounded by. I mean, you can change it, but...
No, I agree.
A lot of it's
instances of inclusion, like you were saying. Like, if they're, you know, I think people inherently will wonder about somebody when they're different. You know what I mean? And like I said, one of the things that I was actually had a conversation with somebody at church the other day, and they were talking about how, you know, like me growing up, for instance, I grew up in, you know, South Jersey, which the area that we lived in, my townhouse community that I lived in was basically, it had a top half and a bottom half. And we used to literally call it the top and the bottom. And the way that it was is that at the top of a little hill was kind of the section that was more diverse. It had a lot of white people, had Hispanics, had Asians, had black people, everything. But then down the hill on the other side, it was predominantly black. And it was the area was a little bit more run down. The buildings were older. You know, it was kind of like the ghetto of our neighborhood. And I can honestly say that there's multiple, I had buddies and friends that I grew up with that lived down there. But if I walked down there past a certain time, I was nervous. I would be worried about getting jumped, about getting beat up, because it happened to me multiple times where I got jumped, I got beat up, I got someone jump out of the bushes and grab me and just start beating the hell out of me. It happened to me multiple times. But on the other, but on the reverse end of that spectrum, those guys could come up to the top and walk around all hours of the night and do whatever they want and never get bothered.
Yeah, but if the top was predominantly white, it'd be probably the same thing.
And it could be. You never know. But it all depends on the people. And in this particular instance, there was nobody that I knew of that lived in that area that was concerned about the people on the bottom or about black people in general. Like for me, I've grown up in such diverse areas that I can openly talk about this and not be concerned about what people think about my feelings or how I've honestly gone through it. I've been in there. I've been standing on the fucking down in the subway in Camden, New Jersey, waiting to go to my job, and had two black guys run over and try to jump me and steal my money and, you know, take my phone and whatever else back in the day. And I've been through that. I've never had, to be quite honest with you, I've never been jumped by white people. I've never had a white guy. I've been in a fight with a white guy that we just had a disagreement and we got into a fight, but I've never been jumped or attempted to be robbed from or stolen from by anybody other than black people. But does that mean that I look at them in a different way and think ill of them? No. I think a lot of people, unfortunately, are a product of their environment. And where I was, Camden, New Jersey, was at one point in time the crime capital of the United States. And there's a lot of people there who were under the poverty line, didn't have a lot of money. And I think, sadly, that sometimes pushes people to do drastic things like rob people, steal shit, because they're living in poverty.
It's survival, man.
Exactly. It's a survival of the fittest. And does that mean it's okay? Of course not. But these are all things that, thank God, when we talk about stuff like this, it brings me back to the point of where the economy is right now and the fact that black unemployment is the lowest that it's ever been and all this good stuff. I mean, when we talk about unemployment in general, unemployment is the lowest that it's ever been, ever. We're not talking about like it's low for now. It's the lowest it's ever been in the United States right now. And I don't care what anybody says. You know, Joe Biden made a comment the other day that Trump's coming in off of Obama and Biden, you know, that they were turning it and he just jumped in and took over. Bullshit. Because one of the statements that I made earlier is that Obama actually said that a lot of the manufacturing jobs were never coming back to the United States, and Trump's bringing them back.
Why would they? I mean,
he's giving them reasons to come back.
No,
tax breaks, tax cuts.
Oh yeah, for that,
you know, things like that. Yeah.
In regards to like profit, there's no point. I mean, let me rephrase that. From a business standpoint, it does not make sense to bring it back here because the company is making more money.
But it all depends on what it is.
Yeah.
Because there are certain things that are found that are here that are natural in the United States that we can thrive upon. Certain crops, there are certain minerals and materials that are found here. The steel industry is huge in the United States. You know, there are things like that that we thrive here. We don't have to go to China. We don't have to go to other, you know, South America and other countries.
China's better for, like we said before, electronics and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, as fucked up as it is, they got those kids doing shit and like it's like, hey, we can sell an iPhone for $1,000 and it costs us $5 to make them.
No,
but
you're right.
Some Chinese kid like $1 to make it.
No, you're right. 100%.
It's,
I remember having a conversation years ago. Remember when this whole thing came out about Nike and the fact that they found out that they had these plants over in like Palestine and
paying them like $1 an hour.
Yeah, they were paying kids like $1 a day to make these shoes. And like Malaysia and stuff like that. And they literally figured out that their cost on like a pair of Jordans was like $3.17, including shipping. And they're selling these shoes for $200 a pair. I remember one of the ones that was a big thing back then was, remember when that one specific pair of Jordans came out and it was in that silver case? and it looked like a suitcase. It was literally like, it was like a $290 or $300 pair of sneakers. They were Jordans, and you literally bought them, and they came in like a little, they came in a little silver, it looked like one of those like money cases, but it had shoes inside of it.
Nah, I mean, I know a lot about Jordans, but I don't know like the cases.
Well, it was crazy.
Yeah, they're stupid expensive, they cost nothing.
Exactly, and somebody actually figured out somehow, at least within reason, that that entire thing, case included, cost them like $26
to make. The case probably cost more than the shoes.
Exactly. The case actually was like $18 and the shoes were like $9. You know what I mean? It was something crazy, or like, yeah, $9, something like that. And it was crazy. And then, and the fact that they were selling them for $299 or something like that in the stores was unbelievable.
It was the same with the Beats headphones.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember they came out with that. It was like, oh, it cost like $23 for shipping and manufacturing, but they sell them for like $300, $400, $500.
Yeah, exactly. That's absurd. And that's definitely why we need, in certain instances, why we need to, we need to improve, you know, trade relations with China and make sure that we, that we are, that we do have more jobs here in the United States. Because at the end of the day, it's hard, man. You got, you know, when you see companies leaving and going overseas and bringing their business with them, we're losing jobs here. And that's one of the reasons why unemployment was so high. One of the reasons why the economy was doing so poorly. Now things are improving because we're bringing work back to the United States. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that's going on. So tell us a little bit about you professionally, like going forward right now. We had a discussion recently, if you don't mind talking about it. Like, what are you up to right now in terms of like work, and where are you headed, and what are you doing?
So like I said, Saturday's a competition, and then starting Monday, I'm going to real estate school.
Cool.
So I can become a real estate agent because, well, I like to talk to people.
Absolutely.
And in South Florida, there's a lot of houses, and I do actually have a few connections in regards to real estate. So when I finish, I get certified, like by the, I guess, state board, whatever you call it, I can get a job down here, and it pays a lot of money when you sell houses. So
absolutely. I mean, it pays good when you sell houses. It pays good even rentals. I mean, I remember I used to do it when I first came down here. I went to Gold Coast and got my real estate license.
That's where I'm going.
When I first came down to Florida in 2002, and I did it for almost a year. My my ex at the time, her aunt and uncle had a real estate office, and I worked with them for a while. And it was pretty cool because, like, even when things were rough and houses weren't necessarily moving, you could do like a rental. And a lot of times on a rental property, you would get like your commission would be like 1 month's rent.
Yeah.
So if you're renting like a condo on the beach for $3,000 a month, you could go and rent a condo and make $3,000.
Yeah, I think they screwed it now.
There might be differences. Every company is different.
Because of the whole like South Florida thing.
Right.
But like now rentals don't get you really much.
Wow, that stinks. But I'm proud of you because I know that it's been a struggle the last few years. Just find something that you enjoy doing and that you want to be actually invest time and effort and energy into. And I think real estate is going to be good for you because you make your own hours, you work your own, you do your own thing, you talk to people. And if you find that it's something that you can enjoy, you can really make a good career out of it and just move forward. And you're still young. You're what, 26?
29, dude.
Oh, he's older than I thought.
Yeah, I'm getting old, man.
Almost 30.
Shit, don't even tell me.
So he's 10 years younger than me. So I'll be 40 February 1st of next year. When will you be 30?
February 26th.
That's right. I knew we were in the same month.
Yeah.
So we're about 10 years and 25 days apart. Well, Ryan, I appreciate it, brother. We've been 36 minutes deep, so it was awesome having you here today, and I'm glad that I could take your mind off of your water cut and all the crazy stuff for your meet coming up this weekend. We wish you the best. And is there anything you want to close us out with?
Fuck politics.
Later, guys. This is episode number 3 of Well World. We're screwed. Later.